Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, the best bits of this afternoon show. Well, we had a chat about various matters, including sticking sex at one point, but we'll keep our powder dry on that.
Seagulls.
But it's more than animals, it's sport and everything. And we're joined by the Jofra Archer of his generation, Franklin Stevenson, fast bowler. One of the best players never to play Test cricket. And you'll discover why in our chat. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. And I caught the second half yesterday of the Championship games. I started to watch a bit more Championship football this season because it's a great league, and I've probably not given it justice. I used to just watch it at the end of the year to see who was going to come up to the Premier
League. Sorry, let me stop you there. The producer just shouts, "It's a filly." Yeah, about 5 minutes too late, mate. About 5 minutes too late. But anyway,
yeah,
carry on.
Still in demand.
It's a she. Oh, yeah, of course. Very much so, John.
Very much so. You know, if well, I don't want to go into any details. Yeah. Anyway, what's the second half of the Championship, and it's quite good, the red button, except that the main game was Preston with 2-0. We're going to talk about Stoke, and they won 3-0. So I decided to watch the Leeds-Brentford. But the trouble, match choice is a great thing, but the trouble with it, I suppose understandably because of the costs, is all the other games are not in HD. They're in lo-fi.
Oh, dear. As my friend poor Dave, old soul.
Well, I know. But you get used to it. It's a funny thing with tellies. And my friend Dave Tully describes it as watching TV.
Is that what you call him?
Yeah. If you're listening, Dave. With Vaseline smeared over the screen. He's right. It's a really...
Is that how he watches telly?
No.
What's he watching?
I thought you might say
that. Slightly worried.
Anyway, I know.
I know Dave Telly, and I'm slightly worried about him now.
Your man, Dave Telly.
Yeah.
Marcelo Bielsa's tracksuit top. I worked out
latest edition. Interview with that. Yeah, it'd be great.
It's massive. It would fit William Refrigerator Perry. It's huge. I don't know what a strange choice. He's so eccentric because he could have the choice of any kit in the place that would fit him. Why wear one that's so sort of looks like it's been washed 100 times? It's not like Sari's operating theatre scrubs look or Ralph Hasenhüttl's wetsuit.
Yeah.
It's the small woman has borrowed her much larger boyfriend's sweater look.
Yeah. She's put that on in the morning just to go and get the papers and make a cup of tea. Is it one of those? Is it?
Yeah, very much
yeah,
so.
Yeah, yeah.
What a strange look, but there you go.
Yeah.
So there we are. That's all I got out of
Ralph Hasenhüttl's wetsuit. It is a good look, is it? He does basically wear a wetsuit for games. Yeah. If he was more eccentric, he would wear the flippers and the mask, wouldn't he? Yeah.
He could do. And Nketiah came on in the 76th minute.
It's a good player, him.
Very good.
Could be good next year.
When you were off last week, we were talking about...
Well, I said to you, I'm surprised they were going to let him go out on... I mean, I know they've got a lot of good strikers, Arsenal.
Yeah, that's
but,
why they let him go
out. You know, he's one more year of... That's a very good loan move for him. If he gets him up, he'll be flying
next year. Yeah, he wouldn't
play sorry to say from my point of view.
Yeah, but at seven... He came on in the 76th minute, and I thought, well, you know, Arsenal are going to want him to play a bit more than this. But anyway, they'll be happy he got the goal, and he's got great movement. He really has, and he's still got man of the match, even though he was only came on for about 15 minutes. At least I thought so.
At least Nketiah is getting game time. We've given Jack Clarke, Tottenham signed Jack Clarke and lent him back to Leeds, and he's not getting a sniff, although... Dave Williams,
I thought
who works.
Jack Harrison, is it Jack Clarke?
Jack Clarke, yeah. No, okay. Jack Harrison's playing. Well, this is the thing.
Jack Clark's not played, I don't think.
Leeds Dave, who works with us here, did say to me he was quite sceptical that Clarke was going to get that many games going back. And I'm sure Spurs aren't particularly happy because they've asked for him.
Perhaps they could loan him out.
And he's bench warming by the sound of it at the moment. Maybe you know more than I do, Leeds fans, but that's what he looks like. But they've certainly taken to Nketiah, haven't they?
Yeah, well, not surprised. They'll tell us anyway. It's Moose's favourite day of the year.
Is it?
It's National Burger Day.
Oh, well, we'll talk to him about that later on.
Don't think they do a tuna burger.
I say Ali was eating a burger at about 6:30 in the morning. That's quite bold.
Dedication to duty.
They brought some in, yeah, yeah.
Now, we heard on Jim's show earlier from Debbie Jevons.
We did, from the Football League.
Honestly, once Debbie gives up her position at the Football League, there's a great career for her in TV formats and TV programmes. And so we've come up with a few. You'll do better than we do.
Yeah, listeners, yeah.
I've got Knock, Knock, Knocking on Jevon's Door.
Is that the kind of a childish game that you play?
No, tabloid reporters take turns to doorstep Debbie.
Okay, well, it's not much of a show, is it?
Well, it teaches you how to do it.
What about the Jevon's Open, which is her look at what it's like to go out on day one, the first morning of a test match, and face hostile bowling? And it's just that mindset of the opening batsman, which is very different from everybody else's.
That's very true.
Debbie looks into the psyche of
that.
She'd
be very good at that. Yeah, Jevons can wait. Debbie serves customers at various restaurants, or Debbie tells you how to queue.
What's it like to go from the very top of football administration to wait on tables? A good show.
But you'll do
that's Channel 4. One of those kind. Anyway, if you've got any more, talksport.com/H&J. Text to 81089, or you can tweet to TSH&J this afternoon. It's raining at Headingley.
I hope they get a lot of play, and otherwise this decision to put them in I think it's iffy. I knew he was going to do it. I went to bed last night. I thought, Joe Root wins the toss, he's going to put them in, but he shouldn't. And even if, both sides can't bat, so the advantage of putting them in, isn't that great? It's not like we're suddenly, if we get them out for 200, say.
If we got a full morning in those overcast conditions, it would have been.
But say we get them out for 220, something like that.
Yeah.
England aren't the sort of batting lineup. They're going to score 400-500 and then, not have to bat again. They're going to have to bat last on this pitch. And we've seen in the first two test matches, both teams that had to bat last struggled. England pathetically, and Australia nearly got into trouble. And if Root had declared a bit earlier, they may have been in trouble. And that decision to not to declare earlier because, I think he's a wonderful batsman, but I personally don't see it with his captaincy. I just don't think he's an instinctive captain. If I can predict what he's going to do, I think it's not good. But anyway, John Norman will undoubtedly disagree with me.
Well, look, they've taken lunch a bit earlier, so hopefully they'll get out soon. Looking at the pictures from Headingley, there's still quite a few brollies up. There's a few people that are braving the stands.
If they don't get a lot of play in today, and then Australia back tomorrow, and the weather's lovely, then
there was always a danger. They thought there might be a little bit of scattered rain, but maybe not as much as they've had.
Lovely
otherwise,
delivery by Archer, though.
It was, Well, let's hope they can get out there, and it's still overcast.
Unless they bowl them out for like 180, I think it was a mistake. But there we go. We'll see.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Now, if you're a young, fast bowler and you're living in the West Indies, you're a good batsman as well, you take a chance, you leave home as a young man and look to play a trade in this country. We could be talking about Jofra Archer, but we're not. We're talking about Franklin Stevenson, who did all that back in the 80s. He's told his story now in my song, Shelby Cricket, his autobiography, and he joins us now. Franklin, great to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. Guys invited me.
Yeah, we just seen some pictures from your Franklin Stevenson Academy over in Barbados, and there's a picture of you with Jofra. So have you been following his career with interest?
Oh, very much so. I first came across Jofra years ago. He was actually playing some cricket, some impromptu tip ball cricket in the tennis courts at the local school, the high school, where the game was on. And he actually hit my groundsman in his head.
Oh, wow.
So he quickly called me and asked me to come back because to take this youngster on. So he just cheated me with a few bouncers and so on. But it was all fun. So he remembers it to this day, actually.
Wow.
Do you have mixed feelings about the fact that, his dad was English, I believe, or
dad is English.
That he chose England. Because, West Indies, all right, they're not short of great fast bowlers. The current crop are quite good, but, he looks as if he's something special.
Well, that's what happens in the Caribbean. That's what we've been fighting for quite a while, actually. And through the academy, I'm finding that it's still a very big stumbling block. It happened to me in my career. I think that my book can actually show that even in Jofra's statements, he said that he was injured. Nobody was checking him out. Nobody was seeing how he was doing. This is after playing for the West Indies under-19s. and then to have an injury. He felt as though he was way back in the queue, back with the B team, C team, or whatever. And it was a very cloudy road ahead. So he decided to come to England and play some cricket, where he had the opportunity. He had a British passport, I think it was. And, you know, it's a story of almost every young player these days in the Caribbean. If your face doesn't fit, we've got an administration that have really, really lost their way. And I don't really see the answer to it, really.
Yeah, we speak to Mikey Holding now and again, but I think he's reached the point, Mikey, where he feels like he's got nothing more to say about the West Indies cricket board. He can't. No words are left, really. I think he's run out.
Yes, it's a sad thing. I'm actually bound, you know, my tongue is bound in a sense, because I've got an academy, some great young players, beautiful young players coming through. And I just get the feel that already they're being victimized, you know. And so it has been the case. You know, we've got people who we put in position that are not really cricket at heart, in a sense. They haven't had a lineage in the game, a history in the game, but they're trying to make a name for themselves. And so they look across and say to the players, well, you know, you think you're going somewhere? They don't rate, but how can they judge when they don't understand what a player's feeling on the field when he's out there, you know, third session of the day, and you still got to get that breakthrough, you know, so.
People often say, frankly, that you're one of the best players, if not the best player, never to play Test cricket, and probably the reason for that was that you were part of the Rebel Tour during the apartheid era to South Africa. You went on two tours there. You talk about it in the book, and you talk about the experience of going there, and also you kind of feel that it did have an impact on what happened in South Africa in later years, that rather than it being a distraction, it was a kind of force for good in the long term.
Absolutely. It was my plan, actually. I didn't really plan on going on the tour. Even when they asked me, they came at the last moment because they always thought I would be a whistleblower. I was doing really, really well in the leagues. You know, I was, you know, offered by contracts by Middlesex, where they couldn't pick up because it was tied to the league clubs, and they were doing really well, winning the championship pretty much every year wherever I played. And, you know, so when it was the last moment when Winston Davis pulled out, and I was asked, and I said, thank you, but no, it was again. Then they came with a 25% increase in the offer, and I still said no. I was just moving into our house, my wife and little baby. But when I saw the team leaving to go to South Africa, my heart sunk. You know, it was more than just a tour. And these guys were leaving saying that they were going on holiday, and it was nonsense. It was the most important tour that our nation would ever make, I thought, to go represent 28 million black people who didn't have a voice. So I always thought that sport could make that difference. And I changed my mind and I joined the team. I caught up with the team in New York, and I went off, and the book would show a lot of that. You know, and I saw a lot of positives. You know, when I got there, I thought that I'm here as a force of change, and I can do what, you know.
Did you feel under pressure? Because, I mean, there was a lot on you guys. I mean, to perform and to do well in front of that sort of Afrikaans audience.
Well, the funny thing is, you know, you can feel pressure stepping onto a plane or worrying what conditions are going to be like. But once you step onto that pitch, it's all about performance. It's all about this is what I do. And I was really keen to look forward to doing that. I wasn't fully fit for the tour, but I always found a way somehow through my injuries to, you know, put in that performance and, you know, create any sort of change in my, well, whatever that I needed to do to get that performance happen. So I was quite confident that I'd be okay, you know, once I'm given a ball and, you know, the arena is set.
Although players from other countries did come back and after a shorter 2 or 3 year ban did play cricket for their countries again, the West Indies was effectively an unofficial lifetime ban. It did cost you, because you were still a young man, a young player, and you almost undoubtedly would have played Test cricket for the West Indies. Do you have any regrets now? Do you wish you hadn't gone?
Well, I was the youngest player on the tour. I was 22 years old, I think it was, when I decided to join the tour. And I'd actually made my first-class debut for Tasmania. And again, you can see the comparisons. You know, I mean, if at that time and the Australian board was quite keen, I mean, my debut, 10 for 46 at the MCG, Tasmania's first win on the mainland of Australia, man of the match, that sort of stuff, a youngster just walking into international cricket. If they wanted to, they could have maybe put some strings like England did, and here they've got a lovely new fast bowler. But yes. Barbados never saw it like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd been here already with the West Indies on the 19th, and through adversity, I performed outstanding. You know, at the book was sure, I can't go through all of it at the moment.
Sure, of course.
One thing in the book is lots of photos of you and Sir Garfield Sobers. And
he's written the foreword, hasn't he?
Yeah, and yes. For younger people who never saw him play, I mean, in my opinion, you probably agree, I think he's the greatest ever player for what he could do and the way he approached cricket.
I've never seen anything like it. I bowled to him. You know, you've heard a lot about it. I couldn't be Sir Garfield Sobers as a kid because he was a left-hander and we were playing. So I would say I'm Everton Weeks. But then I said, you know, it wasn't right because he never really hit a six and they let us smash it, you know. So, but to actually get to play against Sir Gary, it was an amazing thing. I was on the field and he hobbled onto the field in this hotel friendly game. And the awe that surrounded him when he approached and everybody, you know, around. And so I ran to bowl to him. And I thought it was happening in slow motion. You know, I was a young 19-year-old quick bowler. And he was playing everything so easily off the middle of the bat and it was going on to long off, long on. And he would hobble on his back and amble a little single, you know, and he's just smiling away. So I thought, and I get this jeer, you know, come on, you got to bowl him a bouncer. I said, nah, man, this old man, if I hit him, what would happen? I would get lynched or something.
Yeah.
You know? And they were laughing. I thought they were laughing to think that I was so keen. No, they're laughing at me. So I said, okay. And I honestly decided I was going to bowl my bouncer, but not head high, just in case something happened. And it was about shoulder high, definitely. But the way he says, smashed this ball through mid-wicket, I mean, it was like, all of a sudden, he just like this lion playing with a cub, and all of a sudden, just gave me a slap, you know. He walked on the pitch and said, listen, bowl those to your friends, Sonny. I thought, you know, the funny thing is, I was never going to bowl him another sharp ball. I mean, I bowled guys sharp balls, and the way they hooked them, I could say, I'm going to set him up and bowl another one. I was never going to bowl him another sharp ball.
You had a great slower ball as well, Frank, and a lot of players talk about your great disguised slower ball that you had, that they really couldn't see coming, and that was something obviously you perfected.
Yes, I was showing some kids a couple of days ago and they were still in awe as to how I got the ball to change grip in my hand amid stride after showing the batsman I was bowling seam up. But it's something that I developed in the leagues, you know, trying to bowl longer and give my fellow teammates and the guys in the second team a bit of a knock rather than the net falling into shambles, you know. And I think that these days guys bowl weight offs and change ups, but my delivery, I think, was actually a well-disguised slower ball where my action didn't change. And if you didn't pick up that, my grip had changed halfway through my delivery, not the approach, the actual halfway through the swing of my arm, then you saw that there was a beamer coming straight at your head when you looked at the ball. And so you thought from a seam up to an off break, a lot of batsmen, including the likes of Mark Waugh and Mike Gatton, you know, we have laughs about it on a regular basis, but they actually ducked to be bowled under their nose with the ball actually pitching and hitting the off stump.
Yeah, there's a photo in the book, isn't there? Who was it? Brian Hardy's off stump, removed by a ball he was originally ducking.
Yeah. That must be a great feeling. Yeah, now, apart from, you mentioned your academy over in Barbados, Franklin Stevenson Cricket Academy. You're a very good golfer these days. You've got a second sporting career after cricket. I mean, you're the pro. We're pro at Sandy Lane, is that right?
Resident pro at Sandy Lane, the Five Diamond Resort in Barbados. Yes.
Wow,
I've been for 21 years now.
Wow. Did you come to golf late? Were you playing a lot as a cricketer or...?
Well, I actually founded the Barbados Professional Golfers Association the same year that I actually did the double in the English County Cricket, which was 1988. I went up to the Belfry and sat down with the Secretary of the European PGA, Lawrence Thornton, and formulated a constitution, went back and registered the Barbados Professional Golfers Association.
Wow, wait. You were the last player to do the double, weren't you? The 1,000 runs, 100 wickets in a county season, is that right?
Yes, 125 wickets and 1,017 runs, I think it was.
Wow, still stands.
Wow, incredible.
Well, that's not going to be beaten, I wouldn't think. That's fantastic. No, well, it's a fascinating read. It covers a lot of your early life as well, growing up in Barbados, and lots of other great stories as well. So, lovely to see you, Franklin. Continue success with the academies and the golf and everything else, and thanks for coming in.
Beautiful. Thank you guys for having me.
Franklin Stevenson's book, My Song Shall Be Cricket, is available now with a foreword by Sir Garfield Sobers. Pitch Publishing are the publishers of the book. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport, and Racing TV have teamed up with TalkSport to give away an awesome entertainment package of a year's subscription to Racing TV plus a 40-inch television so you don't miss out on any of the horse racing action. This week you can watch every race live from the Welcome to Yorkshire Ebor Festival, and tomorrow there's an exclusive one-day-only offer at racingtv.com. So head over to talksport.com/win to enter and find out more about subscribing to the home of British and Irish racing. We have it in front of us at the moment, watching it all unfold at York, and we'll be crossing to Lee McKenzie later on for the Oaks at 3:35. A Nable in action ahead of the Arc, possibly the last time the filly will be running in the UK.
The Daily Star had another vicious seagull story today. That's their obsession of the summer. Monday, they described them in the tabloid style as the psychotic flying scumbags. Seagulls.
That does sound like a punk band, doesn't it?
It does, really. Today, what are they? The Manic Birds. That's not too bad, actually. The Manic.
That's a tribute act, isn't it? They just play bird songs a little bit quicker.
I did love that picture of David Cameron, former Prime Minister, coming out of the sea on holiday. Not exactly James Bond, is he? Not exactly Daniel Craig.
Well, I don't think he sets himself up to be. There was another story as well. More seagull news, Andy. Seagulls are plaguing Kensington, central London, 45 miles inland. But for some time now, we've known about the urban gull. Apparently, I was reading about it, they're a very adaptable bird, the seagull. And they have, do you know, like the town mouse and the country mouse?
Oh, yeah.
There is your kind of, there's your seagull, which is keeping true to its roots.
Oh, yeah.
Staying by the sea.
Yeah.
But there is the urban gull, it's a thing.
Really?
And it's come inland, and
it settled inland.
Nests in buildings and does its own thing.
Doesn't rely on fish for its diet?
Well, I mean, go down the bins or chips or kids' ice creams on Brighton Seafront. Yeah. But, they'll kind of go wandering into shops. They're quite, very, you know, quite intrepid and can be a bit vicious, as we have seen. Andy.
Well, they can be. Congratulations to British Airways, who've just announced they've lost 150,000 bags this year. What a tremendous achievement.
Congratulations. They didn't present it as some sort of badge of honour, did they?
No, I
think. Yeah. And you've got to love.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to love Daniel Levy.
Well, I suppose so.
Because he's looking to sell. He sold George, Kevin and Kudu today.
Oh, did he?
He's got managed to get him off the books. He played quite well pre-season, knowing he was in the shop window. So he's gone off to, I think he's gone to Turkey somewhere. I'm not quite sure where. But good luck to him. It never quite worked, really. Clinton and G light, and that is saying something. he did his best, but it was a very odd signing. Victor Wanyama.
Tottenham, they want money for him.
Well, Tottenham paid £11 million for him. I think I think Bruges are interested. Is it Bruges?
They quoted him £17 million. How can he be worth more than he was when he came?
Well, I think it's a package of £17 million.
Is it?
So when he plays in the World Cup final for Kenya, it's probably an extra £2 or 3 million quid.
I see.
But dear old Victor, he had one fantastic season. Then he got a couple of injuries, and sadly has not been the same player since.
Hey, he was a very good player, wasn't he? Where was it? Southampton?
Southampton. No, but he was great for Tottenham. He had an excellent season for Spurs, the last season at White Hart Lane.
Did a bit of a job at the end of last season when he had to fill in, didn't he,
I thought he's back, and then I saw him a couple of times and he really was diminishing returns. He kept losing. You can't lose the ball that much in a key area of the pitch like that, and he'd gone off the ball. So good luck to him. Thanks for that wonderful last unbeaten season, but I think it was time to move on, really.
I did like the description of the chap. Carl Dennis says a man who lost his £70,000 mortgage offer after they Googled him and found out that he had a £500 a month tanning addiction.
Wow.
And the son called him Human Solar Panel, Carl Dennis. That's like Lotto Lout Mikey Carroll. Yeah. That's really going to stick with Carl.
The Human Solar Panel.
Brilliant description.
So, you gave us loads of TV formats for the Football League's Debbie Jevons, but then David Collins said, guys, I think you've already done Debbie Jevons this year. I didn't remember doing it. I've got a better memory than Andy, and you got me there, David, but you are the H&J completist, you'd know.
Yeah.
Jevons in Devon, says Cheats. Debbie wanders around Devon aimlessly looking for other Jevons living in Devon. Well, I've seen worse on telly. Jevons of mass destruction. Debbie works.
Still going to be better than Scarlett Moffat and her family go and spend time with the Himba tribe.
That'll be good, yeah. Jevons of mass destruction.
That's good.
Debbie joins forces with Nick Knowles on major demolition projects, says Ken. In between Jevon and hell, Debbie is in the middle of a tough negotiation between the rich and the poor. It's an ironic format, says Ross. I can't see it getting made. Pennies from Jevons, like the undercover boss. She goes around small, struggling football clubs and hands out money to help them. May I suggest Barry could be her first stop, Dave in Tunbridge. And what about Jevon 17, where Debbie forms an 80s tribute band? Ken, thank you very much, Ken, in Portsmouth.
Well done, Ken.
Thanks for all of those. We had done them before, but you just did them again. Sorry, David. Good spot.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
I was reading about this today in the Daily Star. A type of UK female stick insect has turned asexual, wiping out the male population, and it could happen to humans, say New Zealand scientists.
That's a bit of a leap, isn't it?
No.
One stick insect and the human race. I mean, it's going to take time. It's not going to happen over the next couple of weeks, is it? It's something that's going to take time, you would think.
And the US talk show host Larry King.
Oh, yeah.
He's still around. He's 85 now.
Yeah, sure.
Him of the red braces.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
the
we
big
know.
Cigar,
yeah.
Yeah. He's divorcing his seventh wife.
Wow.
Sean King's 59 after 22 years. Blimey, he's been married over 22 years, so he had six before that. Blimey, that's amazing.
This one was a keeper. Yeah, well, what about that?
That's like
Frank. No, he wasn't literally
like,
a keeper.
He was like Frank.
Yeah.
Incredible.
What then about, yeah, could be. We mentioned seagulls earlier on, and what was the phrase that the papers used? Because they couldn't use the words.
What was it? The psychotic flying scumbags.
Scumbags, yeah, one of the papers used. Very good idea from Matt Lang, who says, surely, seagulls, if you're looking for an alternative to the word, manic beach screechers. That's very good.
Oh, very good.
That's very good, Matt. That certainly works. So thank you very much for that.
And they did a piece in The Sun today about posh food terms that people don't understand, which are a bit pretentious. For example, like jus is a trendy word for gravy.
Yeah.
You just call it gravy, I agree. But one of them, Ballantine, I never know what that is, but I always think of Ramadan and Ballantine.
What is Ballantine?
It's a type of boned chicken thigh.
Is it really?
Yeah, I never knew that.
I never knew. I thought we had a series of gyms and used to be on Dragon's
Den.
Yeah,
that's him.
Yeah. Anything else?
Anything else I might have? A bit of aggro at the, actually it's quite unpleasant, at the World Tango Championships. A Russian dancer was disqualified after basically hitting his partner.
Wow, dear, that's terrible.
That. You wouldn't expect that, would you, in the sort of World Tango Championships?
Well, you wouldn't expect that in the World Tango Championships.
Quite a shocker,
Andy.
Really. No, Ralph Rangnick has said that Jurgen Klopp is the best coach in the world at the moment.
Okay.
What about Pep? Seems to have forgotten Pep.
Well, it's a view, 0-8-7-1-7. We could talk about that for hours, but let's be honest, we probably won't.
And these always fascinate me, but this one's quite a strange one. These people that text the Daily Star every day requesting a picture.
Yeah.
You know, which when you think, well, if you're that interested, you Google it.
Just
they're
Google
all there.
It, yeah.
But Colin from Kent sent the Daily Star a text saying, there's something about presenter Victoria Coren Mitchell that I like.
Okay.
That's a bit creepy, isn't it? How about a nice picture, he says.
Restraining orders all around, Colin. Yeah.
That's strange.
Now, they're crying foul over in Turin. Torino play Wolves tonight.
Oh, yeah,
and,
they're not happy about it, are they?
The officials are Portuguese.
Yeah.
So they're worried because of Wolves' kind of Portuguese enclave. This can have some sort of advantage.
They are basically a Portuguese team, Wolves, aren't they?
But, I don't know. Colin Cody doesn't look that Portuguese.
They've got a Portuguese manager,
yeah.
A Portuguese agent sort of thing that does a lot of the deals. They've got a lot of Portuguese players.
Yeah,
there's but a big Portuguese influence.
That may make the referee even less likely to put it
well,
all
there. They just call it as they see it, don't they?
That is a tough old test, isn't it? Celtic have got to go to AIK as well in Sweden, so some tough old games are
They do a bit better than they did last week, losing to Cluj. That was a really poor performance.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? So they've got to come through to stick around in the Europa League anyway.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. We return tomorrow from 1. We'll have the clips of the week and all sorts of other stuff besides.
To me, we're recording this in the corridor.
It's the corridor of uncertainty.
It certainly is.
We're recording this in a corridor. The state-of-the-art business we've become. Anyway, thanks for downloading us, and we will catch up with you tomorrow from 1.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.